you guys. Welcome back to the 100 Recap Show here on Variety Radio Online. My name is Brancy, and I am joined today by a host, a co-host, guys. This is new. Emily, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm great, but I'm emotional. I've been having to talk about the 100 alone because schedules, but we talked, and guys, we're going to start doing this together when we can, because we both love the 100, and we are both emotionally compromised after every episode, so.
That is accurate in every way.
Oh my goodness, they hit me hard last night. There was a lot that happened last night.
Yeah, I was wondering how, like, they were going to go from last week, obviously, such a huge moment to end the show, you know, well, two huge moments to end the show, and then I was wondering where they were going to pick up from, and it's just, they kind of hit the ground running, and the emotions did not stop. We're only three or four episodes in, and I already feel like every single episode has been, like, solid, and there hasn't been anything that I was like, meh, you know, indifferent about. I'm just like, this is all so great.
Yes, I know. I'm like, I have nothing to, like, bitch about. So rare, because I always have something to, like, complain about on shows or, like, nitpick. But, like, I feel like these four episodes have been, like, really, really good.
Yeah, it's been really solid, which is surprising, I guess. I mean, it's good, but it's always surprising to me. Yeah, because you're always just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop when you watch a TV show. Like, it's so good. It's not going to stay good forever, but right now, exactly. the ball is rolling, and I'm along for the ride as long as it keeps rolling this way.
I'm excited. I am, like, signed up right now, ready. Oh, we had so much happening this episode. I think maybe what we should do is stick to, like, because there's no way I can keep this up chronologically. There's just not.
No, there's no way.
So, I think we should maybe just do them by, like, character groups. So, let's try that out.
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's talk about Clark and the list getting out. Oh, my God.
Drama!
Oh, my God. I mean, Jasper. What are your thoughts on Jasper?
Jasper is a very complex character in my eyes, because part of me feels like, oh, it's so nice to see, like, funny, goofy Jasper, and my friend who watches the show, like, with me, I guess, she would agree in saying that. She's like, I'm so happy Jasper's back to normal, and in a way, like, his goofy kind of humor. But then on the other hand, I think, oh, sweetie, like, you have just passed the breaking point to the point where you have just given up on life to the point where everything is laugh. I don't know. It's like, it's towing a line for me. I can't decide if I am enjoying the comedic break or if I'm, like, sad about it, because it's like, he really doesn't give a crap about anything, and he doesn't care. He doesn't think anybody else should either. So it's hard for me to decide how I, like, truly feel, but I do appreciate the humor. And obviously, Devin Bostick, who plays Jasper, is awesome. But it's hard for me to pinpoint how I feel about Jasper right now, because he's so towing the line of insanity in humor, and it's strange to me.
I think I'm in the same area, like, because I loved Jasper, like, in early seasons, you know, like, when he was, like, in his prime, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, when he wasn't a just depressed mess. So to see, like, a little bit of that creeping back is good, but on the other hand, you're like, bruh, like, this is coming from someone hinged. Like, he's clearly not in a right state of mind.
Yeah, he's totally lost his marbles at this point, to the point where he doesn't, because obviously he was ready to end his life until he realized the world was ending and everyone was going to die. So at this point, he's just going to laugh his way to the end of the world, which, good for him for, like, taking a bad situation and thinking, well, I'm just going to say F the world, because what can I really do about it? Which, good for you, but it's kind of concerning in the same way where you think, okay, well, obviously, cause how could the TV show go on if the world ends? That somehow, there will probably be death and destruction, but some people are going to survive. if he is one of those people, like, what is he gonna do after that? Is he gonna, like, I just don't know where that he can go from here. I was really convinced that he, because knowing from, I had seen something that at the end of last season, they had filmed a scene where he actually committed suicide, and then they, after the fact, decided to go back in and change it, because they thought that was, like, too gruesome of a thing to have after all of the crap that happened last season. They were like, we're gonna spare them this one and keep Jasper around. So I thought there was, for sure, he was gonna end up kicking the bucket pretty soon into the season. So it's, I'm glad that he hasn't, but it's, yeah, I'm always like laughing with a hint of concern when I see him on screen.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about last season, though. I mean, good call.
Yeah.
The fans lost their minds. Okay. Yeah. Multiple times we had Lincoln, we had Alexa, we had so much bad happen last season. I feel like that was a good call on their part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, it's like concerning because the personality's there, but, like, you know it's not right, because you know that there's, like, something right underneath the surface of it, and it's, like, so much resentment specifically towards Clark, and you're just like, oh my god, she's trying her best. She's really trying her best, guys.
Yeah, it's like you want to shake, you want to shake everybody and say, like, well, what would you do in that scenario? You clearly, like, I doubt you have a better way to fix it. Obviously, Clark.
Exactly.
Clark may or may not be going about it in the right way, but like, obviously, no one would know unless they're thrust into that position. And obviously, at this point, the only people that have been put in that position are Clark and Bellamy, and then obviously Jaha knows what that's like, and Abby and Kane. So there's like five people that actually know what that decision feels like,
right.
And everybody else is just a bystander, and they have no idea what goes into it logistically. And like she was saying, like, well, I could only pick so many engineers, I could only pick so many, like, her rationale made sense. It's just unfortunate that, you know, like,
exactly.
The fact that, you know, people had to find out that they didn't get picked to live, that's kind of harsh.
Yeah, that's why I liked last week's scene, because Raven, like, spent, like, the whole episode kind of being like, Clark, make your list, you know, like, kind of being, you know, a little crappy about it, and then she has to, like, see face-to-face, like, hey, it's not so fun when you get to pick who lives or dies, is it? So I feel like that scene was so good for her, because I don't think until that moment she realized, like, oh, this kind of sucks to be in charge of who gets to live and who gets to die.
Yeah.
It's not fun. And you're dealing with, like, what, 10 people? Whereas Clark is facing, like, literally everyone, because we have everybody from Sky Crew, Tree Crew, Ice Nation, the whole coalition. Like, she's facing all of these people, and, like, everybody's looking to her because she made these promises to Rowan, and what is she going to do? She's trying, but she's got to make that list. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But the rationality to behind every person that's on there, it makes sense. It's just that people just don't want to hear it. Because when you're talking about your life, you know, people are sensitive to that. So.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, why do you get to live and I have to die? Obviously, and I'm sure the fact that Clark's name was on the list, and, like, Bellamy's name was on the list, like, of course, people are gonna instantly see that and saying, oh, well, you're just saving yourself. But obviously, like I said, they have no idea what went into that, like, decision, and everything that happened, and just, yeah, it's like, such a tough spot. And then, I'm still trying to work out whether or not I think Jaha was right in what he did in blowing everything up and deciding, like, hey, like, I'm gonna give people the illusion that they have an equal chance to live. I'm still kind of confused as to where he thinks that's gonna go. Like, does he think that he's just gonna be able to pull the wool over on everybody and say, just kidding, like, I know I said it was gonna be a lottery, but I'm gonna fix the lottery so the people we want live? Like, because there's no way, you can't rationally say, we're gonna give everybody a shot, and then what happens if, like, it's not very likely, but what happens if only guys end up, like, oh, it's 100 guys, or it's 90 guys and 5 girls and 2 old people, like, and how is human the human race going to survive without people to reproduce and have more kids and build up the population? So I'm still confused by Jaha's whole, like, intervention of, we got to give them right. hope. Like, okay, makes sense, but logistically, how's that going to work?
Like, gonna give them hope, but laugh as we close the doors.
Yeah. Like, oh, ha, ha. Yeah, remember that lottery? Well, like,
y'all saw it.
Sorry. Yeah.
I see his rationality as to why giving people hope is a good thing, but I feel like, obviously, a lottery is insane. Okay? Yeah, obviously, that's insane. What if you get, yeah, exactly like you said, like, what if you get, like, all men by some random chance, or, like, all women, or all of one type of group and nothing from one group? Like, how are you going to survive? You're just not. And I don't know. I feel like I see where his point is with the creating hope. I would have been like, guys, let's work on building and, like, reinforcing this area while the rest of us go and figure out and try to find other areas. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. Like, okay, we're going to focus on Arcadia, and you guys need to go. We're going to scour the woods for a potential, like, Jaha went found. Like, there's got to be something else out there. Or, like, but I guess, obviously, they have to pool all their resources, because at this point, like, Ice Nation is kind of, like, they can't rely on Ice Nation or Tree Crew or any of the Grounders, because, especially now that they know only 100 people are going to survive, and there's already more than 100 people just in Sky Crew. So it's like, okay, like, they can't, even though they have an alliance, they're not really thinking about it right now, so, because I don't think they factored in any of those people when they made a list of who was going to live. They were just going to be like, well, those people are on the outside. Sorry.
Exactly. My goodness. It's just a lot. And I don't know. I mean, like, there's obviously got to be places out there. Like, in today's society, there's, like, a TV show dedicated to doomsday preppers. Okay? Somebody out there's got a bunker.
Somebody.
Gotta find it.
Yeah, they just have to scour the earth for the remaining bunkers of crazy people. And hope that they can find a way to fortify. Though I'm sure those bunkers, obviously, it's not like a Mount Weather situation where it's built to sustain people for, with, like, air vents and water and all that stuff. So, it's so hard. It's like, where are they go? I'm just waiting to find out. Like, when's the thing gonna come through that's gonna be, like, the aha moment of, well, obviously, why didn't we think of that? Like, we could do this to save us. So, it's hard to see where that's going to come in at this point, because obviously they're still in the midst of the doom and gloom, and we only have one solution, and it's to save 100 people and kill everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, see, at the end of last week's episode where, you know, they go investigate the bunker and, like, they find out that it's not, you know, a viable solution. But I was like, yeah, obviously they're not going to find a solution in episode 3, okay?
Yeah.
But then after watching this episode, when so much happened, I'm like, okay, where are we going? Because it seems like we're going there pretty quickly.
Yeah, like, the timeline has been shrunk. They now only have 2 months, supposedly. Then a solution is dangling in front of their face, the Nightblood situation. So now they have to figure out some scientific way of duplicating the effects of that without going, like, Mount Weather bone marrow draining crazy on Luna.
Oh my goodness. We do not need all that mess. We do not.
We do not need a repeat of that situation at all. Especially since she's the only one that they have access to. It's not
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. So, like, if y'all kill her, it's done.
You're done.
It's just done.
Yeah, there's no really going back from that. They they have one chance. I
mean, you got one shot. And see, that's the thing, is because I was talking about this a little bit last week. If anybody's ever seen the show Heroes, okay, they tried to do this on Heroes, where they tried to, like, take this girl's blood and, like, develop it because it, like, helped cure people. But that shit did not work.
Yeah.
That did not work because it would kill them. So I'm at a loss.
Yeah, especially because
obviously it's been done, but, oh man, how long is it going to take?
And then part of me wonders, okay, so Clark had a transfusion, basically, from, I can't remember her name, who was supposed to be command, well, wanted to be commander, but lied about it.
Antari,
yeah. She basically had a transfusion of her blood flowing through her for, like, an hour or more. So does that mean Clark now has this immunity, too, because she had Luna's blood, like, pumping, or the night blood pumping through her veins? Like, is that the solution? See, just give everybody blood transfusions?
Yeah, and see, I'm not sure, because, like, obviously Nightbloods were created, but that's been passed down through, like, generations.
Yeah.
So, we don't have that kind of time. We got 2 months.
The 2 month timeline does not call for, evolution and a reproduction of Nightbloods, and then waiting for them to pop up randomly in the gene pool. Yeah, they don't have time for that. So, it'll be interesting.
And even at the end of last season, when she did have, like, the transfusion going, like, we saw, like, when it slowed, like, when there wasn't as much blood getting to her, like, she was, like, suffering. So, like,
yeah,
I just don't know. They have to do something, because it's just not, it's just not working right now. I'm just sitting here trying to figure it out, because I don't know. I just don't know. That lab was nice, though.
Yeah. Sure, Abby is thrilled with the prospect of new science tools to play with.
No joke, man. That was a nice lab. And see, I guess we're kind of shifting a little bit to that area, but those drones were playing no games.
My question is, which I feel like Miller asking the important questions, who is manning these drones and how are they still active?
Exactly.
Without Allie or anyone around to run them. How are they still trying to kill people?
What are they guarding, exactly? What is it? It's gotta be something.
Like, there's no way, unless the program that they are, the automated program they are on is completely separate from Allie's programming, like, yeah, somebody either has to have them still activated, or I don't see how they could still just be chilling with no one controlling them. So,
right.
Yeah. Who's manning the drones? Important questions to be asked.
Either someone's doing it or there's some kind of programming. I don't know. I'm leaning towards someone controlling it, though, because, I mean, you see that, like, as soon as Luna is in there, I don't want to say eyesight because it's a drone. So it's
yeah.
Like, doesn't have eyes. In but
the,
you know what I
mean. In the viewfinder, and, yeah.
So, yeah, as soon as she's in viewpoint, they, like, chill out. So.
Yeah.
She's just got the golden ticket right now. She's fine.
She's fine.
Fine.
Just everybody hide behind Luna and everything will be fine. Just
pretty much. I mean, that's where we're at.
That's the plan right now. Save the world.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to me. I love the show, but, like, it's just so intense to think about how we have, like, two polar opposites, like, fused together. We have, like, the Grounders have, like, evolved, basically, like, but, like, regressed back to, like, archaic ways of living. But we have, like, this super high-tech, like, lab.
Like,
and drones.
Yeah.
And archaic ways of living. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny to think, like, you literally are 20 miles down the road from this. How did you not know that this all existed? You're living, like, you know, hunter-gatherer lifestyle back to the start. And there's this mansion with these drones and whatever, like, chilling, like, in the vicinity of where you live. Just, it's crazy, yeah, to think that those two worlds are kind of coexisting at the same time. And they had no idea.
Yeah, it's like they just totally, like, ignored each other. I don't know, like, they were parallel and just didn't talk about it. That's
yeah.
What happened. I don't know, but the whole thing on that island was a damn mess. I loved Raven and Murphy's little bickering.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
I feel like Murphy has had a lot of funny moments with pretty much everyone in the last few episodes. Just his quips. Murphy has come a long way from being, obviously, in season one, the shithead that everyone wanted to die, into
Yep.
Reluctant, lovable, somewhat still, as Raven said, like, cockroach, or whoever it was that called him a cockroach, but, yeah, so it's, yeah, he's an interesting one to watch out for, I feel like, in terms of sub-characters, if that's the right word for it.
Right. Like, he's become, like, the problematic fave to
yes.
me.
Yes.
Like, I go back because I have gotten somebody to watch it, so I was, like, watching it with her, and I was like, oh my god. Like, he was awful.
Oh, yeah. I rewatched the series recently, like, before it, well, I meant to be like, oh, I'll watch it, and then it'll, by the time I'm done, it'll be back. Of course, I blew through it in, like, a week, because binge watching, hello. So, yeah, it was very, like, oh, Murphy, you were awful. Well, you were awful human being. So, yeah, he definitely, but to see then the shift of in him, and speaking of other people who had major shifts, Kane, I feel like, has went from yes. biggest douchebag oh in the world to precious angel who I would die for. Like, I just, I wouldn't.
Literally, it's insane, because I was watching it with her, and she was like, I don't like him. And I was like, who? She was like, this Kane guy?
I know.
I don't like him. And I was like, oh my god.
But then.
Don't worry, it'll change.
But then I feel like when I rewatched it, I also then saw, I don't think I fell in love with Kane as a character until I rewatched it after season 3 was over, and thought, why am I, like, loving him so much? And I thought, oh, it's because I know where he, like, ends up, and I'm just here for it. So I was, like, saw it with a whole new perspective. So, yeah, Kane definitely has gone from a super least favorite person in the world to, like, my second favorite person on the show, like, probably. My friend and I have taken to calling him Dad Kane, because he's basically everyone's dad.
Basically,
he is the dad of the show. So, Dad Kane has become the new fave, and I'm here for it.
I love it. I mean, he's like the den father. That's what he is.
Yeah, he really is. Like, especially when he was, like, talking to Octavia, and he was like, girl, you gotta get your shit in line. Like, you can't just go killing people. You need to have, like, order. Like, he was laying it down for her, and I thought, aw, sweet little Papa Bear is scolding his child, and just, yeah, there was a lot of fatherly vibes going on in that whole situation.
He really is, like, the father. Like, even in this episode where he's talking to Bellamy, he's like, don't worry, it's gonna be okay, Abby's gonna figure it out, we're gonna be fine. I'm like, oh my god, Kane.
It's like, Kane.
Like, 10 out of 10, probably would buy pizza for everyone.
Yes, he so would. He'd be like, all right, now make sure everyone has their lunchbox, and we're going to go on a trip. And yeah, he is the dad.
Oh my goodness. It's just crazy. They've all come so far.
They really so have. Great. This season really has put into perspective how far everyone has come in terms of character development and just everything. Because I feel like this season has kind of looped back. It's kind of come full circle in terms of, like, what's happening to them. Like, oh, we're in this dire situation where we had to save all these people, and it's kind of been a role reversal for some people. Like, the stuff that the adults were dealing with in space, like, the kids are dealing with now, like, since they're the ones, like, that are in charge, basically. So
yeah, it's exactly like that.
So it's, like, role reversal in a way, and I feel like, yeah, it's definitely shined a light on all the character development that has happened. Good and bad character development that has happened, so it's been interesting so far.
It is, because even just with who's in charge, I mean, we all know that Kane is technically the Chancellor.
Oh.
We all know who really
comes. When Clark's said something, well, when she said to about Jasper, when she had him, like, taken away, she said he broke into the Chancellor's room, and I thought, whoa, are you calling yourself the Chancellor? Because hold up. But then I didn't realize that she was in Kane's room, so I was like, oh. Yes. But at first I thought, whoa, dang, like, somebody just gave herself so all the authority. But then I'm like, okay, you're speaking on behalf of Chancellor Pike. Okay, not Pike. Kane. Pike's dead. Oh, thank God. But anyway.
But honestly.
And, you know, I was like, well, Clark, you want to check yourself before the power goes to your head, maybe? Like, but.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's definitely obviously the one in charge. Like, even Jaha knows it. Like, he, just everything, like, the way he talks to her and Bellamy, too, like, just the way Jaha handles the two of them. Like, he's like, I clearly, I have recognized that you two are the ones really in charge here. I'm just gonna do whatever you say, or I'm gonna help manipulate you into what I want to do. And Jaha knows what's up in terms of
he knows now. He's kind of learned. After he did some stupid things, trying to get people to the City of Light, he's just learned to take a step back and observe. And I'm glad
he drank the Kool-Aid, and now he is definitely not doing that anymore.
It's like he drank it, passed it out, and then saw what was happening and was like, oh.
And then gave everyone water and was like, here, we need to flush this out.
It was like, we need to throw that up. Let's get rid of it. That's where he's at. He's just kind of observing and figuring out what's going on. We all really know who's really in charge here.
He's really in charge.
I mean, hey, she's the one that's been doing a lot.
Yeah, she's basically been in charge this whole time. They've been on the ground, so let's not pretend that that's not what it is.
Exactly. Clark and her right-hand man. Ugh. That's what's been going on.
Since day one.
I mean, honestly, going back and rewatching, we'll put it into perspective, like, yeah, this has been happening since day one.
Though, obviously,
when they first came to the ground, everybody kind of looked to him first.
Well, yeah, because he was, like, the rebel leader, like, yeah, we're going to do whatever the hell we want. And then she was, like, the one who was like, no, I'm the representation of the adults and doing what you're supposed to do. And then, obviously, that formed into, like, a co-leadership thing that's kind of been that way for since they became reluctant co-leaders. They've been that way since, and now it's not even reluctant anymore. They're blazing forward together as co-leaders.
They just are. And everybody knows it,
and I am obviously here for it, because the more they can, because let's be real. Okay, my thoughts during this episode were, oh, Clark and Bellamy are separate and having to make terrible decisions, which means bad things are happening because they're not making these decisions together.
Yes, I could not have said it more simply myself, because that's exactly what I was saying.
Every time.
As soon as they're apart, bad shit happens.
It's like when Bellamy went off by himself to get that water generator, and he decided, nah, I'm gonna save these 15 people instead of, like, 100 million people. Perspective. If Clark was there, she would have been like, okay, but we need to do the tough thing. Like, let's be real.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly.
They center each other.
She got back from that, too, and she was like, yeah, I respect that, but, like, you could see her eyes, she was like,
but you messed. But you messed up.
Low key, I'm gonna respect you now since it's done. But if I was there, we would not have done this.
Exactly. It's kind of like, okay. But yeah, they are. They are definitely just co-leaders, and obviously that's going to maybe be problematic going forward, because that brings about. Especially as, okay, let's talk about Rowan completely blowing the lid on the entire alliance and coalition.
Oh my God.
And that's obviously going to be a problem for the fact that he took Bellamy and Kane hostage, and Echo, dear God, I was pulling for Octavia to kill her in this episode, but that didn't happen. which now I'm, after the way things went down, if it's not Octavia that does it, I want it to be Bellamy, or both of them,
right,
at the same time.
Yes.
Because, let's
that's
be real,
ideal.
Echo's not making it out of this season alive. Like, that's just, it's war. Like, she seems like an expendable character at this point to me.
Right, I mean, she's betrayed him too many times.
She's kind of put a big target on her back, like, 3 times already, and it's only been 4 episodes, so, yeah, I don't see a bright future for Echo.
No.
So. Yeah, so Rowan, just his reaction seemed very sudden. I thought, wait, what just happened? All of a sudden, now there is no coalition, and you think because they have Luna that you're trying to ascend a commander, and like, where are you jumping to all these conclusions from? Like, it just seemed very rushed. It's a very rash decision.
It was very, very, like, honestly, to me, it felt like, in a, obviously a more simplified version, because this is, like, a complex world, okay? But in a simplified version, it's like two kids are playing, and one kid takes the other's toy, so they just, like, lash out. Like, that's what it felt like. He was just lashing out, like,
he didn't really...
she's not gonna save us? Done. Coalition's done. That's over.
Yeah. It... especially because he was so willing to put himself on the line for Clark so many times that, I don't know, especially because he, like, knew the flame was, he thinks the flame is gone, so why does it matter that they have a Nightblood? When, especially when they explain, yo, like, we're trying to save everybody, like, literally, if we don't, everyone's gonna die, maybe, like, 10 people will survive if we don't do this, like, so... it just seemed
very...
yeah,
that's what I just don't get. Like, you're obviously... these are the facts, okay? You either die or we have a shot.
Yeah.
So why are you...
so now you're gonna start a war when we have, like, less than 6 months to live and waste all of our time and resources fighting a war when we could be working together to save the planet? It's like, it's just very, very just bad decisions, though. Not surprising, because Rowan obviously was never really cut out to be king. Hence why he was probably exiled, I assume. His mother did not believe in him, I assume. And, or just, I feel like that's a trait of the Ice Nation in general. Like, super rash decisions. Just lashing out, power strikes, like, that seemed like his mom was the same way. Like, we need to show Forrest, like, you need to, like, and Echo's, like, whispering in his ear all the time, you need to kill Juanita and take her power and whatever. So, that seems like their MO, Ice Nation as a whole. But, yeah, that seemed very, like, it was like a blink and you miss it moment. I was like, wait, what? Like, all of a sudden, just the coalition is over, and Rowan is, like, declaring war, and Bellamy is being taken prisoner, and I'm just like, what is happening?
Exactly. It's like, if you were in the kitchen getting a snack and came back, you would have been like, excuse me? What? Is this next week's episode?
What?
You would have been like, what?
I'm like, what is
that
happening?
It was just like an automatic shift, okay?
Just like flipped on its head in 3 seconds, and the world will never be the same.
Yeah, he's been letting Echo get into his head a little bit here, because, I mean, I just don't get it, because he's known Clark since the beginning of season 3, okay? And he's been, like, working with her towards something, and they've all been helping him, okay? He has almost been dethroned, like, 50 times, and it's been, like, 4 episodes, dude.
Yeah.
They've been helping him.
And
so
the fact that Octavia was, like, at his beck and call, and was willing to, like, kill everybody in and their mother to keep him on the throne, and he's just gonna toss that away. It was not a very smart decision on his part, obviously. Like I said, starting a war when the world is already ending, not the best thing you've ever done. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, based on the preview for next week, that
they plan on marching down
and offering up some hostage trade situation or whatever is going to go down. So that'll be interesting, just to say the
least. I don't know what his goal is. Like, is his goal... I'm trying to figure it out. Because, like, obviously there's going to be some kind of hostage proposal. But, like, what is it going to be? Like, take them and we going to take your Alpha Station? Like, I don't understand what the end game is here.
Like, we're going to take over this technologically advanced thing that we don't understand and hope it's gonna save us when,
like, it's not even ready yet.
When it's not even fully ready to be survivable. Yeah, okay, smart.
It's just I just don't get it. Let's just say Octavia was dead for a second.
Yeah.
Let's just imagine
she was dead.
How is that gonna play out? Excuse me. But you cannot.
I know.
It's not gonna work.
It's funny because, like, I saw, one of the previews they showed on Facebook. Like, I knew that Octavia and Echo were gonna fight from a preview or something, and I thought, oh crap, they're really diving in right away, and, like, Octavia's gonna kill Echo, and it's gonna be badass and whatever. And then all of a sudden, I see her getting this. Okay, first of all, that stab wound would not have killed her. Like, I don't know what Echo thought it did. I mean, obviously she fell from a cliff, so if the sword didn't kill her, the fall should have killed her.
Right.
In theory. So I assume that's why Echo thought she died, but I was like, okay, that little stab wound in your side, like, you could survive that. Like, that's not a fatal wound, depending on where she hit you.
Right.
So, there was that, and then I was like, but wait, like, she fell really far. How did she survive the fall? Which, I don't really care, because she's alive. But I was gonna say, if she did die, WTF. So yeah, I was not okay with that. I mean, I was sitting there texting my friend, like, oh my god, what's happening? And she's like, she's not dead. And I was like, okay, yeah, but like, whatever. And then her response was like, they're gonna pull a Lord of the Rings. Like, she's gonna appear and...
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll believe you. But...
I'm willing to put logic aside.
I'm willing, yes. When it comes to people I care about surviving, I'm willing to suspend all disbelief on everything and say, yes, you survived that fall with a stab wound, and you were okay. Like, it's fine.
With all them rocks, like, you're good. It's okay.
I was like, is she hanging, like, Mufasa on a cliff somewhere, and then she crawled down? Like...
Oh my god.
Because, like, you didn't see her body fall either. Like, they just showed the water, and I'm like, okay, so where's her body? Like, where's she falling? So I thought maybe she's clutching to a rock somewhere, and then she, like, shimmied her way down to the bottom, but, I mean, I assume she fell, but I don't know.
That's what they should have done if they wanted the more logical approach, but I don't know. Maybe they just wanted the shock value.
I guess. I'm just glad they didn't wait until the next episode to, like, be like, is she dead? Is she not dead? Because that would have been annoying.
Right. Yeah, that would have been. Because, honestly, I think they did that because they were like, nobody's going to watch this show.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to lose so many viewers if we kill Octavia.
As if seeing Bellamy crying his eyes out wasn't painful enough to have... If I would have had to sit there and wonder if Octavia was dead for a whole week, I would have not been happy.
Now, that hurt me. It really did. It hurts so much, Emily, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And there was no dialogue. That's the crazy thing, is that Bob Morley obviously did such a good job because he didn't even say anything.
Yeah, and they didn't even barely say anything to him. It was just like a throw the knife on the ground. She wouldn't come alive or whatever they said. And then it's just like emotion and just... Props to whoever put this episode together in terms of, like, music and editing, because I feel like recently there's been this trend of anytime something super emotional happens in a movie or a TV show and someone is, like, crying in pain, they flood it over with this emotional music, and I'm like, no, I want to hear the person, like, as much as it pains me,
yes.
I would rather hear the person, like, crying and sobbing than this swoopy music, because it's supposed to make me feel like it's have the music underneath, that's fine, but to completely overpower the, like, what comes to mind is the fifth Harry Potter movie, you know, that's what comes to mind when I think of things like this, and I think that would have been so much more powerful if the music had not been overpowering the, like, emotions and the actual things that were coming out of people's mouths. So I'm glad that they kept it the way they did and didn't try to make it this, like, weepy, like, violin music weirdness.
Yes.
So props to whoever made that decision, because it was so much more painful the way it turned out in the episode.
Right. Like, it hurt me, but thank you for hurting me.
Like thank you for properly hurting me and not just, like, making me, like, obviously I would have been hurt either way seeing Bellamy, like, tear-faced, and just because anytime Bellamy cries, I have, like, problems in my heart, but this was, like, full-on crying. Like, there's, like, Bellamy cry, but this was, like, real crying.
This was, like, it wasn't even, like, Bellamy cry. This was, like, your whole world just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Octavia was his world for a long time.
Yeah. Okay?
Like, that was all he lived for, was to take care of her for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're not going to take that away, even in the apocalypse.
I know. And now I just wonder how long they're going to, because obviously we know that Octavia is alive, But I wonder how long they're gonna make everyone wait to, like, the characters wait to know that she's alive. Because obviously, from the preview, it seems like they're gonna show up to Arcadia or whatever in this standoff. So I assume Octavia is not gonna, like, make it back there before they get there. Or she's gonna hide out somewhere. She's not gonna just be stupid and march straight back into. I assume she's gonna try and lay low or get help somehow. But I assume she's gonna go to Indra, is what I think she will do. But
that's who knows. What I was thinking.
But so I wonder how long Bellamy's gonna sit and think that Octavia's dead. Part of me, because I'm masochist, especially when it comes to Bellamy things. Part of me wants him to not find out for a little bit, at least long enough for him and Clark to, like, be back together to where he could, like, properly mourn her.
Yes. If that makes sense. That, I know. I'm such a, like, I feel like such a bad person for saying that.
I know. I'm like I really want him. Tumblr. I really want him to sit.
Somebody was saying, like, I just can't wait for the scene where, like, they just look at each other and they just know. Like,
and then they just cry. They just collectively cry together. And then it's gonna be, like, the moment when Clark came back from wherever, or when Bellamy came back from wherever, and Clark, like, ran across and hugged him and whatever. I'm just like, it's gonna be like that. Like, Octavia's gonna come up to the gates, and, like, Bellamy's gonna turn around. It's gonna be, like, a whole thing. So, I hope that by the time they decide, like, to reunite them, that he has been given back to this sky people, so yeah. So he can, and
I
then
think,
like,
they need to use that to their advantage. I mean, nobody yeah knows that she's alive at this point. That's, like, huge.
Fuel
that's
the fire.
Huge.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, and then they could hide Octavia away and she could be, like, secret assassin.
Exactly. See, because if everybody thinks that somebody is dead, then they're not expecting that person to come, so.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, because I know that, like, they were saying, that's the other reason why I was like, oh, there's no way that they're gonna kill Octavia, because they've teased that she has this huge, like, arc of, you know, being an assassin and growing in this revenge, whatever, and I thought, well, this way, she can, like, legit be an assassin to the point where, like, yeah, like you said, no one knows she's alive, so she can kind of become this, like, secret ghost killer, like, really just dive in.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I think they can use this.
Yes.
See, now, I would be pissed if I didn't know she was alive, but yes, because I know she's alive, I'm excited.
Yeah, because I, as a viewer, know she is alive. Feel free to manipulate the characters all you want. I'm,
like,
okay with that.
Just go ahead. It's fine. It's all good. She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. But yeah, lots of emotional things just ruined once again every week. My heart is just like, I can't take this every single week.
They hit you too much.
You really take a beating watching this show. It's like, oh, need like a full day to recuperate afterwards.
I mean, honestly, I think I do. Okay, so I think that's basically all that I had to talk about for the episode. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Nope. Bellamy Blake tearing my heart out as per usual. So, pretty much.
Oh, destroyed me.
Par for the course.
I mean, yeah, I've gotten used to it. I kind of just live to be hurt by Bellamy Blake at this point in time.
Yes.
It's just my purpose, I guess, to be hurt for him and by him. That's where I'm at.
Definitely.
It's one or the other.
Definitely.
But I thought this episode was insane. Like, so much happened.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Like, it really advanced the plot rather quickly. And,
like, no joke.
The ball is rolling, for sure. And there's, like, so many different balls rolling all at once. It's like, Abby and Raven are trying to find this Nightblood thing, and Clark is making a list and trying to get people not to hate her, and then there's Bellamy and Kane who are trying to stop a war because they got it's like, and they're all gonna roll into each other at some point, and it's gonna be like craziness, but for now, there are quite a few plot lines that are flowing, I guess
there
you could say.
There are quite a few. I'm excited, though. I'm really here for it.
This
was a great episode.
Yes.
Ugh, I'm, like, nervous, but I'm so excited.
I know.
Because I feel like after last season, when they killed so many characters, I just don't know where they're going to go. I just really don't.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody hates Clark, and I'm just like, stop, guys.
Yeah. Especially, it's with a post-apocalyptic show, you can't go into it assuming that it's going to be puppies and rainbows. So, you kind of have to, like, know that bad things are going to happen, assume they're going to happen. So, I think there's going to be some, for sure, tragedy by the end of the season, because I, like I said, world is at, as far as they know, world is ending. There's no way that they're going to avoid some kind of death and destruction on their way there. So, I guess it's just when it's going to play out is the question.
That is indeed, because it's all kind of happening pretty quickly. So, it's got me wondering if, you know, they're going to have something happen and then bounce somewhere else. I don't know. We have a lot of episodes to go. This has only been 4 episodes.
I know.
We've come a pretty long way.
It's definitely, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I'm excited. I'm signed up. This was such a good one, but I'm ready for next week already.
Yep.
Okay.
Bring on Wednesday.
And I'm like, just give me the episodes. Just send me the DVD. Go ahead. It's okay. I won't tell anybody. That's where I'm at, but this was definitely a good one. I'm excited. Can't wait for next week. Just so ready. I love this show.
Me too.
I am so excited. But thank you to everybody who listened. We will be back next week. I'm just really excited, guys. I hope you are too. Because this is so good so far. I can't say it enough. I'm so pleased with where we're going.
4 episodes in and I am already so pleased.
I am very pleased. It's like comparing to where I was last season. I'm like, yes, let's go.
Let's go. For real.
I'm ready. I'm ready. And if you guys are, definitely check back next week. But thank you for listening this week, and if you want to check out more from us, you can go to thevro.com, and we are on social media. It's Variety Radio Online on Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, I think that's it, and then we have @thevro on Twitter. Make sure you check all those out, and we will be back next week to talk more of The 100. And goodbye, guys!
Bye!